Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Colossians. Now, I'm going to share all kinds of scripture with you tonight. I'll go as fast as I can, but I want to share with you what the Lord's put on my heart for the service this evening. We're spelling Christmas this month. We started this morning with C, and that's Christ. And tonight, actually, Christ is responsible for the hope that you and I have, and actually we're going to see that in the same verse. So if you will, turn to Colossians. I believe it's chapter 1. I'll know in just a minute. Yes, chapter 1. And I'd like to read verse 24 through verse 29 in your hearing. I'll let you be seated tonight. The Bible said, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Look at this. "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." What's he talking about? Look at verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The only hope I have is Jesus. But that's the only hope I need. I like the song that said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." I like the song that said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Honey, there's only one that can make us fit for heaven, and he don't do a halfway job at that. He makes us perfect, amen, in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Brother John, when I read that word striving, I thought about Brother Mitchell. He said, "We're not perfect down here." He said, "We sort of strive to be." I like that, amen. We want to strive to live just as holy as we can for the Lord. He's worthy of that, amen. Tonight we're going to talk about the H in Christmas, and the H is for hope. Pray for me and pray with me, please. Father, thank you tonight for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. Very much, Lord, alive and well. I pray tonight, Lord, we could encourage our people. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help us in the message. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. What I want to do tonight is read to you a definition from Webster's 1828 dictionary of the word hope. It means a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that is obtainable. Go with me to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. I'll show you a synonym for the word hope. It gets stronger than that in the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, the Bible said in verse number 24, "For we are saved by hope." Honey, let me tell you something. The hope that I have in me is not just a slight expectation. Honey, I'll tell you, thank God, I know the Word of God is true. Amen. Watch what he said here. "But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Amen. Faith is a synonym for hope. The Bible said here, for we're saved by hope. Another scripture said we're saved by grace through faith. Amen. That not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Let me touch on something by way of introduction tonight. And that is no hope. Did you know that a lot of people are going to have a miserable December? They're going to be miserable. I mean absolutely miserable. And they've already started being miserable. You say, Pastor, why? Because they don't have money? No, because they don't have hope. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who've got a pocket full of money, but they don't have hope, and they're miserable. And all they want is more money and more things and more of this world's possessions. Listen to what the Scripture said. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I believe it's worthy of noting. My days, Job said, are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, beloved friend, thank God we don't have to live without hope. Job chapter 8 and verse 13 said, so are the paths of all that forget God. You remember this morning? Xmas. You know what that's doing? That's forgetting God. Amen. Christ is plumb out of it. God is plumb out of it. The virgin birth is plumb out of it. The Christmas story. I hope you read that at your house. Amen. I'll never forget Aubrey. I won't tell the whole story, but when she grabbed me around the waist and said, can we read it again, Papaw? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I said, yes, we can. Her brothers wanted to kill her, but we read it again. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. The Bible said in Job 27 in verse number 8, for what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained when God taketh away his soul? A lot of people's hope is in the stock market. Their hope is in their savings account. Their hope is in what they've been able to accumulate. How many of you with me wish you hadn't accumulated so much junk? Say amen. Amen. I hope my next move's through the clouds. That's all I can say. Amen. I don't have to move that mess again. Amen. Now, I hope Miss Eve goes with me. But if she don't, she can have that mess. She'll straighten it up. Amen. Part of it's hers anyway, and I don't care if you tell her I said so. Amen. Proverbs 13:12 said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. A lot of people are aiming to get right with God, but it's deferred. They keep putting it off and putting it off. I believe Satan's too slick to tell somebody not to get saved. He just says, not now. I ask you a question. I don't care how old you are in the building. Do you know anybody younger than you that's died? You don't have to be old to die. There was somebody telling me, one of the men that worked in the extermination business, 43 years old a week ago. He's worked in that business right here in our church, 43 years old. He left this world. Amen. I believe that the Bible said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Jeremiah said, and they said, there's no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. If in this life only, the Scripture said, we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I'm trying to get you to see why. Beloved, listen. Listen, when you get in line at one of these stores and you've got a basket full and you look behind you and somebody's got two little things in their hand, why don't you trade places with them? Why don't you smile a little bit? Say amen. You ain't in that big a hurry. Give them a card. Let them watch the video and tell them about Jesus. Amen. And tell them a little bit about what Christmas means to you. Amen. Because a lot of people are miserable. Ephesians 2:12 said, at the time you were without Christ. Here's what God wants us to be reminded of tonight. There was a time in every one of our lives when we were without Christ and without hope. Amen. That's what the Bible said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was a time in my life I was without hope and without God in the world, but no more, thank God. Let me get in the message tonight. The basis of our hope. The basis of our hope. What is our hope based upon? What is our hope? The Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is our hope based upon? Let me give you two things quickly right here. Number one, the Word of God. Beloved, there was a young man said to an old preacher, I got a lot riding on this book. He said, son, that's a good place to let her ride. I like that. Amen. He said, that's a good place to let her ride. Let her ride on the book. Amen. God's Word. I love the song that, up in Mountain City, Brother Leonard Fletcher wrote. If you've never heard it, get on the internet and listen to it. God's Word will stand. Boy, I tell you, I've listened to that in the shop and shouted, amen. Thank God we serve a God that has a book that said He's forever settled in heaven. Amen. His Word will stand. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the Word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. 119, verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy Word. 119, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy Word. Psalm 119, verse 116. Uphold me according unto thy Word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Oh, thank God for a book. Amen. We don't have to be ashamed of. Amen. Thank God. Our hope is built on this blessed old book. Amen. We call the Bible God's holy Word. Amen. A lot of people trying to write a new one and straighten it out. Honey, the book ain't what needs to be straightened out. You and me is what, you and I, me and you. I don't care how you say it. Amen. We're the ones that need to be straightened out. Not the Word, not the book. Amen. Now, not only is the basis of our hope the Word of God, but secondly, the basis of our hope is the God of the Word. I'll say this to you tonight. I talked about the Pharisee of Pharisees, Paul. He was Saul before when he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Let me tell you about Saul. He knew the Word of God. Let me tell you this. He knew the Word of God before he knew the God of the Word. It is possible, beloved, listen, to know the Word of God and not know the God of the Word. When a man gets born again, then he has a relationship. It's not about religion anymore. It's about a Savior and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 25 with me for just a moment. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 25. I try to be conscious of the time. I know some of you have been here since 5 o'clock. Brother Dale just practicing and singing. And I try to be conscious of the time on Sunday night. I love you guys and appreciate what you're doing. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, listen to what the Word of God said here. I believe I'm right. Yes. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Actually, he was waiting for the hope of Israel. Look what he said in verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know what he was holding? He was holding the hope of the world in his hands, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, it's the Word of God. It's the God of the Word. Listen to what Lamentations said. This I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. Listen, he's not going to brag on himself. He said it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. I tell you, the writer here in the book of Lamentations, I believe Solomon, he didn't say great is my faithfulness, but he said great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Our hope is not on our faithfulness. Our hope is in his faithfulness tonight. He said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Beloved, listen, Christ is our hope. He's the hope of glory. Amen. It's not a Baptist that's our hope. It's not a church that's our hope. But beloved, it's Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. The God of the Word. So I've looked at the basis of our hope. In the book of Hebrews, I'd like to touch on this, a better hope. The Bible said in Hebrews 7:19, you want a good study. I'd say some of you preachers have already studied it out, but you look at the word better in the book of Hebrews. Amen. I'm telling you, when Jesus come along, things got better. Hallelujah. Amen. The law said do, do, do. Here comes Jesus, said done, done, done. Glory to God. He cried from the cross, it is finished. Amen. And now we can come to Him and be forgiven of our sin. The Bible said, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. Paul was hung up there, beloved, until he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He was hung up under the law. But I tell you, after God got a hold of him, he got hung up under the Lord. Amen. And beloved, God used him in a mighty way to proclaim the message of God's Word. We see it's the basis of our hope. We see it's a better hope. But let me give you this tonight. We see it's the believer's hope. Beloved, listen. This hope doesn't belong to just anybody. It belongs to the believer. Amen. The born again. Listen to what the Bible said. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5 for just a moment. In the believer's hope, I want to touch on just three or four things here. The importance of the Spirit in the believer's hope. The importance of the Holy Spirit. The importance of the Spirit in the believer's hope. Look at Romans chapter 5. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, Mama couldn't give me peace. Daddy couldn't give me peace. My pastor couldn't give me peace. My brother couldn't give me peace. But I tell you, I met Jesus and I had peace, eh, beloved. Ever since, beloved, I had peace. Look at verse 2. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'll tell you, that's why we ought to rejoice as believers this Christmas season. Amen. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And beloved, we ought to share in that glory. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Watch verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Beloved, when a man gets saved, God puts a love down in him. He puts joy down in him. He puts peace down in him. Amen. And the fruit of the Spirit. But when we were without Christ's strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. I love the next verse. But God commendeth His love toward us. We're talking about the hope, amen, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, amen. Thank God for the hope, the importance of the Spirit in this hope, the importance of the Savior in this hope. 1 Peter 1:3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I used to tell them old boys in prison, you couldn't go in there and preach against Islam and go in there and preach against all the cults. You wasn't allowed to do that. So I found out a way to say it without preaching against it, so to speak. I said, fellas, I'm just a country boy from Tennessee, and one of these days I'm going to die. You can do whatever you want to do, fellas, but I'm going to trust the one that got himself up to get me up. Amen. If you can find his bones, I'm not interested in trusting him. Thank God for a Savior that put a hope down in the children of God, because, beloved, we know one day we're going to be with him, and one day we'll be like him. The importance of the saints in the believer's hope. I want you to get this. I believe it's important. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. I was talking about the line at the store, the line at the grocery store, the line at the other stores, the Walmarts and the Targets and wherever you shop. Listen to what the Bible said. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth in you with meekness and fear. Wouldn't it be good if we lived such that somebody would walk up to us every once in a while and say something like this? How can you be so happy? Where did you get that joy? Amen. Or something like this. Man, I wish I had what you had. I'm telling you, that's the way we ought to live. Amen. Before the world. And the Bible said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Beloved, we're not helping things if we're not walking with God and walking in the Spirit. Amen. He said, even as he is pure. Now, I want to give you this. This is important tonight. Not only the believer's hope, the importance of the Spirit, the importance of the Savior, and the importance of the saints, but I want to talk to you about hope and the importance of hope in the storm. Honey, I'll tell you something right now. It's early in December, and God only knows what kind of storm we might face before Christmas this year. Amen. And some of our people are already in a storm. Brother Mace Jackson said years ago, he said the child of God's either in a storm or they just come out of a storm or they're headed into a storm. That's what Brother Mace said years ago. And I believe there's a lot of truth in that. Amen. Then listen to where I got this from. Acts chapter 27, verse number 20. You remember when they sailed and they were out there in the middle of the sea in that storm. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, the Word of God said all hope that we should be saved was taken away. I'm telling you, beloved, there'll come a time in your life when you'll have to hope against hope. Say amen. I'm telling you, the believer will need the Lord in the storm. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. He wasn't up there helping them throw the tackle over. He wasn't up there wringing his hands and wondering, what are we going to do? He said, I need to find me a quiet place. Woo, glory to God, I need to get alone with God. I tell you, there's only one that'll see us across the sea. And beloved, I need to talk to him a little while. And Paul, after long abstinence, listen to what he said. The Bible said he stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loose from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. If ever a man in this world looked like a fool standing on the deck of that boat and the waves are crashing, they've done thrown everything overboard. Old Paul, he had to look like a fool to those men. He said, listen, I've talked to the master of the sea. Be of good cheer. Yes, it's storming, but thank God you're saying all hope is gone. But no, it's not gone, because I know the master of the sea. Amen. Watch what he said here. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Why? Because I believe God. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's easy to believe God on the mountain, and it might be a little more difficult to believe Him in the storm, but He's just as believable when the waves are crashing as He is, beloved, when we're walking the mountaintop. In the deepest valley, He's still trustworthy. Amen. He said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I read this. G.K. Chesterton said this. He said, hope means hoping when things are hopeless. He said this, or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is a mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. I like that, beloved. Amen. Done exhausted everything else. And you know, beloved, that you can't make it. That woman with the issue of blood sold all she had, 12 years, amen. But she had some hope. She crawled through that crowd and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Hallelujah. Amen. Them old boys, they said, boys, be quiet. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. They said, settle down, boys. And the more they said, settle down, the louder they cried. And Jesus passed by and healed their blindness. Because, beloved, they knew that it wasn't just a man, but it was the hope of glory, the hope of the world that was passing by that day, the Lord Jesus. Beloved, Claire Booth Luce said this. She said, there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. Some of you all here tonight need that, including this pastor. There are no hopeless situations. Honey, God is still on the throne. And every one of us ought to have this attitude. If he saved me, bless God, he can save anybody. He changed my life, Brother Dale. He changed anybody's life. Give them a purpose and give them some hope. Then, beloved, not only we talked about the basis of our hope, a better hope, the believer's hope. Some of you have been waiting on me to get here. I know you have, especially you preachers, when I started talking about hope. What about the blessed hope? You with me, Brother Larry? Brother Larry said he's going down through them bees. He'll get there after a while. Amen. The blessed hope of the born-again believer. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the hope of the children of God. My wife and I coming to church tonight. And I guarantee you, we missed some. But we named 21 people that's left our midst in the 10 and a half years that I've been here, going on 11 now, Mother's Day. 21 people, that's that we named. And you realize you're talking about old people that can't remember much. I know we missed some. Amen. You say, Pastor, why would you mention that tonight? Because it excited me. Oh, they just left us for time. But we're going to be together for eternity. Why, preacher? Because I have something down inside of me called the blessed hope of the born-again believer. Jesus is coming, youngins. Amen. I'm telling you, I love that line in the song, Sweet Hour Prayer. This robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. I don't know if I'll do this or not, but farewell, farewell, Sweet Hour Prayer. I'm going to shout, amen. Thank God when I see him, amen. He's the one that is our blessed hope. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. Beloved, the Christian's funeral ought to be different. It ought to be different. God doesn't want us to sorrow. I don't know if you were here for Brother Don's funeral or not, but it ought to be different. And it was. What a precious, precious man of God. But I'm telling you, beloved, we're going to meet again. Hallelujah. I need that. I need that. That is the blessed hope of the church. Amen. Amen. I'll read this to you tonight and we'll close. This man, his name is James Deloach. He wrote this. I've shared this years ago with you, I know. But there are many here tonight that have not heard it, and I felt led of the Lord to share it again. He said, I'm not a connoisseur of great art, but from time to time, a painting or a picture will really speak a clear, strong message to me. Some time ago, I saw a picture of an old, burned-out mountain shack. All that remained was the chimney. the charred debris of what had been the family's sole possession. In front of this destroyed home stood an old grandfather-looking man. He was a grandfather-looking man, dressed only in his underclothes, with a small boy clutching a pair of patched overalls. It was evident that the child was crying. Beneath the picture were the words which the artist felt the old man was speaking to the boy. They were simply these words, yet they presented a profound theology and philosophy of life. Those words were, "Hush, child, God ain't dead." That vivid picture of that burned out mountain shack, that old man, the weeping child, and those words, "God ain't dead," kept returning to my mind. Instead of it being a reminder of the despair of life, it has become a reminder of hope. I need reminders that there's hope in this world in the midst of all of life's troubles and failures. I need mental pictures to remind me that all is not lost as long as God is alive on the throne and in control of this world. The Bible said it like this, by Him all things consist. And if you study that out, here's what it means. God's got it. He's the one holding it together. You and I can wonder sometimes, and we do, but God is holding it together. It's going to finish up just like He planned before the foundation of the world. I'm glad, aren't you? How many's glad you have hope tonight? Listen, tonight, it's Christmas. Try to live your life, especially in public. But of course, if it ain't going on in private, ain't no use to be a hypocrite about it. But I'm going to ask you to try to live your life in such a way that somebody would scratch their head, say, "What's wrong with him? Why would they give me their spot in line? Why would they help me load my groceries? Why would they help me?" Now, you got to be careful. You understand? In the day and hour we live in, you got to be careful. You could scare a woman to death. Need to speak to her from a distance. Don't go right up to her and speak to her. Say something like, "Ma'am, could I help you with that?" I'm honest to God. I don't say this to toot my own horn, but my back was killing me. And there was a man and his wife standing in Lowe's. It's just not in my DNA. Standing in Lowe's, needing to put two pieces of sheetrock over on the cart. I said, "Sir, do you need help with that?" And his wife said, "He sure does." I said, "Let me help you." You see, sometimes we need to realize it might hurt us, but it'll help somebody else. Amen. And the joy of living is others. Amen. Say amen. Amen. So this month, let's make a concerted effort. How you like that? Hope my wife's proud of that. I was going to say conscious and concerted come out. Let's make a conscious effort to be a blessing to somebody along life's way. Sister Wanda, cooking something he ain't expecting. If he don't like it, get the rolling pin out and hit him in the head with it. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? I want to say this tonight. If you're here tonight and you don't know what I'm preaching about,